Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. John Ozerhosky is the host of the popular Backstage with Johnny O, the seminal radio program of all things theater in our region, which airs Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WZBG. He is an actor and director, and now he is a playwright. His work will be featured in the upcoming 6th International Playwrights Festival at the Warner Theater. We'll discuss the festival, his play, and so much more. We hope you enjoy our chat with John Ozerhosky here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. John, thank you for coming in to WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio.
Hey, Joe, great to be back. I appreciate the invitation to come on.
Absolutely. Again. I am so thrilled to have you back anytime. You are actually our only second person who has ever come back for a return interview, return engagement, and I hope that we continue that because I am a real fan of your work. Of course, I'm a big fan of your radio program. That is just that's must listening for anyone who's interested in the theater in this particular region. I love the fact that it's also a podcast that you're able to share on Facebook. And if people check out on Facebook the Backstage with Johnny O, they like it, then they're able to always see that when it comes up in their feed and listen to it.
Right.
So a big fan, and I'm really excited to talk to you today because you are our first playwright that I've had on this particular program, and I want to really delve into that because I think that's so fantastic.
Thank you, Joe. It's kind of a big word for me to hear when I consider playwrights being like Neil Simon and Eugene O'Neill, Arthur Miller, you know, the real playwrights of the world. And I never really considered myself one, but I finally just took the plunge, and I was very blessed to have my piece chosen for the festival.
Well, I think what's great is that you are an actor and you are a director, as I've already said, and you've done many behind the scenes work on theater, so you know theater backwards and forwards. Besides just the radio program, I mean, you're heavily involved in the theater. So who better to then use that time and talent to then come up with an original piece that could then be performed by others than somebody with the expertise that you have? And I think that's fantastic. I also mentioned that all these other playwrights who you've mentioned had to start out with the first one.
They did.
And this is the first one for you. So this is going to be, tell me about about what you have written. It's a one-act play, you said.
It is a one-act play. Every year, the Warner Theater has a very nice event called the International Playwrights Festival, and it goes on for 2 nights. In the past, it was 3 nights, and I think they even went as long as 4 nights when it originally started. Charlene Donahue started this, got it rolling because she's a noted playwright in the area. She teaches playwriting and has pieces currently in progress to possibly be done in New York. So she's she's a great resource for the Warner Theater and playwrights everywhere. She will actually be a guest on my annual guest on my show to talk about the festival each year. What happened was I had been directing a play there probably the last 2 out of 3 years. Sharon Wilcox had very nicely offered me a chance to direct the One-Acts. It's a great opportunity for people who have never directed to kind of test the waters for directing. And I got to do that a couple years ago. I had performed in some over the years, and then I got to direct, and it got me thinking, like, well, you know, some of these pieces, you know, they're typically anywhere between 10 to 20 pages long. I have a lot of stories in my head over the years, different topics, different scenarios. And I thought, you know what, this is probably a good year to try and just throw my hat into the ring. And especially this year, because it marks the 20th anniversary since the Hartford Whalers departed Hartford. And I am a diehard Whalers fan, always was, from the early 80s until their last game on April 13th, 1997.
Wow.
So 20 years this year, 2017, and I said, I've always had this story in my head about what I experienced as that fan who lost his team. So I decided to kind of just write out thoughts, picked my characters, and at the end, I had about a 21-page one-act play. I gave it to Charlene Donaghy to critique. She's an excellent critiquer. For anybody that is interested in playwriting, you should look her up and get in touch with her, because she gives the most in-depth and helpful critiques. I can't imagine anyone could do it better. But it was a labor of love, and actually went together fairly quickly. I did a few edits here and there, because I tend to be, as my wife can attest to, I tend to be a fairly long-winded writer, especially with things like emails. So I'm that guy that doesn't really know when to end the email. So I could make a what could be typically a couple paragraphs, I'll make an entire page or 2 pages, because I don't know when to stop my thoughts.
Well, you're a communicator. This is what you
I
do. You're a
guess. As
communicator.
I'm rambling on right
No,
now in
no,
this
no,
interview.
no.
But that's the thing, is this story went together fairly quickly, and it's some of there's a lot of me up in this, well, that's going to be on that stage, performed by 2 actors and an actress, people that I respect very much in the theater. I submitted the play to the Warner Theater, and they received 200 submissions. They stopped the submissions at 200, and I was kind of overwhelmed to see that mine was chosen. And I think they're only putting on 9 or 10 plays.
Yes, it's 10 plays, 9 of which were, and they were blind selected. I had the opportunity to interview Sharon Wilcox earlier, and she had advised that they had readers who were reading all the selections, all 200, and then eventually they, although I'm sure they were all wonderful, whittled them down to the select few, which are 9, and it was a blind submission, which means the names of the playwrights were taken off. So
Correct.
it was basically solely on the merit of the piece and of the work. So it is a big testament to you as a writer and as somebody who has a knowledge of theater that your play was selected. And I got to tell you, it's got to have a lot of resonance for people in this region, because the Whalers, was a huge identifiable, aspect of our culture, and then it was gone. And so there's a big hole for the people who, really gravitated towards that and felt that as a part of their identity. I bet that's what you're, that has, that's the big focus of your play.
It was a very tough time, and it kind of coincided with my start of theater. I started theater in 1995, because it was almost like the writing was on the wall for the Hartford Whalers, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I mean, I went to games all the time. I was watching games all the time, listening to games, going on road trips. I was a member of the Booster Club.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, we went on road trips with the Hartford Whalers. So, when 1997 came, I was only 2 years into my theatrical career, and that year is the only year I had done 5 back-to-back-to-back-to-back shows. I think I was one of my coping methods was to just totally immerse myself in theater to get over the loss of the Hartford Whalers. I mean, it may sound silly to some, but I think anyone who's a diehard fan, because I'm also a diehard fan, Giants lover, New York Yankees. I mean, these are my teams, but can you imagine if those teams moved? It makes me wonder, like, this is exactly what like the Brooklyn Dodgers fans went through when they relocated out west.
Yes.
All of a sudden your team is gone. You can switch alliances, join, the fan base of another team, but it's never going to be the same.
Oh, absolutely. I remember my parents are from Massachusetts, and my father a huge Patriots fan. And I remember the time that Robert Kraft had decided that it was a threat, really. And I don't know how serious it was, but that threat was taken seriously, that the Patriots could move, and they one of the places they were thinking of was moving to Connecticut. And I remember the visceral reaction that information was received by the fans, and so, well, I'm just not going to watch anymore, because it's either that or it's nothing, because this is a part of the ethos in the community, and a lot of people would have been upset. As it turns out, that move didn't occur, but the Whalers, that did occur, and
Right.
that did affect a huge number of people.
It did, and it was a heartbreaking time. It took a lot to get through that. And again, it sounds silly maybe, but when it's part of your, I guess it would be for also like if theater all of a sudden the doors closed on theater around here, there would be such a void for so many actors and actresses and directors and theater goers, that all of a sudden your one of your main loves of your life is no longer there.
Well, speaking of that concept, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the love of theater. We're going to be talking specifically about the International Festival. You had mentioned before that you've acted in it, you've also directed in it. So I'd like to delve into that. What is it like? And then I also want to find out from you, what is it going to feel like to see your work directed by somebody else, acted by somebody else? I want to talk about that when we come back right here on Numbing Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk here in studio with John Ozerhosky. We are talking about the International Playwrights Festival, which was going to occur October 13th and October 14th at the Warner Theater, the Nancy Marine Studio main stage, Nancy Marine Studio stage. We had talked in the first segment about the fact that, John, you had acted on the stage there for the Playwrights Festival, and you've also directed. Could you tell me, what did you act in?
I was in a play, actually directed by Catherine Ray, one of your past guests, one of your recent guests here on the program, and a longtime friend. And that's the nice thing about this is when you are either, I guess when you're directing, you can reach out to whoever you want to. There's no auditions for these. So Catherine Ray approached me and my wife Rebecca to be in this show about the age-old tale of a man making a deal with the devil.
Ah, Faustian bargain.
Yes,
Very
pretty much. I
nice.
think we even mentioned that name in the play. So there was that play. Rebecca and I were also in one together a couple years ago called Deer Crossing, that was directed by Sharon Wilcox. It was a couple who have an argument in the woods after they hit a deer,
Ah.
and the deer ends up being fine, but it gives the couple a moment to go from this fight that they're in. They end up talking through a lot of their issues, and by the end, they're okay. So it kind of has a happy ending, and both of those pieces were very, very fun, very fun. And it's a very limited commitment, which is always nice. Minimal rehearsals, very minimal set, and when you're working with your wife, who you most likely live with, you get to rehearse a lot on your own. So we had a very good time with that both times. And then I was offered the chance to actually direct, and I've directed, let's see, Family Markers, that featured Lynn Wilson and Leo Paul, Leo the first Lechman of Litchfield.
Ah.
That was a couple years ago. And last year I directed a show called, forgive me, the name is About Time. It was called About Time, featuring Joe Gudodaro, who is another friend. He is going to be directing The Games Afoot at the Nancy Marine Studio Theater.
That's a fun play.
It is a
That's
fun play. And playing opposite him was my longtime friend and WZBG colleague, Amy Ferrati. So they played opposite each other in that. It was a lot of fun to be directing them. And yeah, it is, as I said, it's the nice thing about it is because we know so many people at this point, we've worked with so many people. You read these plays and you can immediately start seeing who could play these roles. I've also directed pieces at the Phoenix Stage Company for their one-act festivals. So, you know, I've directed four of them now, and each time I think my casts have just done a brilliant job with the work that's been given them.
That's and what's interesting is that you're describing the fact that it is a limited time commitment, but during that time you are perfecting a kind of like a short story. It's kind of the difference
Yes.
between a short story and a novel. You are perfecting that short story, which means it's got to be have that punch, have that emotion in a very short period of time. And so there's a special kind of craft to that, a special kind of art to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. You are still in charge of a lot of stuff, even though it's on a smaller scale. And you do everything from kind of designing the lighting for what you're going to do. And most of the time that's pretty basic. And you choose what the actors are going to wear. And most times they're bringing in what they already own. And you choose music to start the piece, end the piece. You do any of the sound effects that you're looking for. Granted, the Warner will help you with any of this that you need. You know, some people just don't have access to this
right.
stuff. I happen to be lucky enough to have access to it. So they are willing to help any way they can. And if I could just go back for a moment to where you had mentioned that the blind submission is probably my biggest feather in the cap of this whole process, because
Absolutely.
I just put this out there. And I think anybody that's unaware of that might just say, all right, well, so they picked one of Johnny O's. They picked Johnny O's play because, you know, he knows Charlene, and I know other people that are actually on their reading committee, but they didn't know it was me.
Right, because the names were removed. It was totally a
it's
blind
anonymous.
Submission
yeah.
process.
So, and that is the biggest feather in my cap of this whole thing, is that they didn't know it was me until Charlene eventually said, after they chose them, they said, well, Johnny O wrote this one. And it was funny, Sharon Wilcox told me after she... We had it was right before a production meeting for it, and then there were none. She had told me, like, you know, I was reading it, and I first said, oh, Johnny O's got to be in this play. He has to be in this play, because I know what a Whalers fan he is. And then she said, no. As she kept reading, she's like, my God, I think Johnny O has to direct this piece. Because
wow.
I see him envisioning this entire thing, and... By the end, she said, God, it's almost like if it were John's words. And then Charlene told them at the selection meeting that it was him. She's like, oh, my God. It's like, I knew it. I had this feeling that it was him. So it was just a very nice feeling to have that chosen.
That's fantastic. What do you think it's going to be like when you see your own words performed on stage? It's got to be a very different experience than directing other people's words and seeing your vision of this other person's work now become part of your work. This is literally your work. You wrote this, and this is going to now be performed. What that's going to be like for you?
I know. I'm trying to envision what it's going to be like. I assume I'm going to be nervous, anxious. It's in the very capable hands of our good friend Tony Leone. He directed the piece last year that was chosen to represent Connecticut in the the New England regional finals for
absolutely yes.
Tony did a great job with the piece, and Tony's a big sports fan, so I think he was very, very well chosen for it. All people I consider friends are in these roles: Chuck Stango, Bob Lucier playing the two guys, and Suzanne Powers playing Bob's wife in the play. All very capable and talented actors, very good comedic, because the story mostly is comedic. You know, it's these two men who are reminiscing the demise of the Whalers. Mm-hmm. You know, they're dealing with it, and you know, each one having their own theories as to how they're going to cope. And you know, they argue, they laugh, you know, and they, you know, it takes the wife to kind of knock some sense into the husband. And you know, there's some twists in there that I won't divulge. Because,
please, no.
Yeah, we want people to be surprised when they go. But to sit there and listen, the only thing I can kind of compare it to is back in it's early 2000s, I was cast as the narrator in the Rocky Horror Show in Thomason at Thomason Opera House. And the director, Rob Bongelotti, asked me, it had been playing on Broadway, and Dick Cavett, you remember Dick Cavett?
Absolutely.
He was in the role of the narrator in this revival of the Rocky Horror Show down in New York, and he played himself. The narrator is typically played, you know, if you are familiar with the movie, by this stuffy man in like an ascot and a smoking jacket, and he just kind of pops in and kind of brings the story along as it goes on. Well, what they did in New York was Dick Cavett had just they made him play himself. He was the narrator. So when Rob asked me to play the role, he said, "I want you to play yourself. Be Johnny O. Be, you know, you're from Thomaston. You're a native. So, you know, do with this what you want." So
That's a great idea.
I played myself for the narrator. I wrote up a ton of my own material, you know, to go along with the scripted parts. And it was nerve-wracking to go out there that first time in front of a full house and deliver my own stuff. Thankfully, they loved it. So that I kind of feel that that is what I'm going to experience this time. I'll be sitting there with like bated breath, like, are they going to laugh? Are they going to feel what I felt as I was writing this? I mean, it seemed funny when I wrote it. So I think it will be a nervous excitement. And, you know, I think I'll want to see it again and again and again, but it's only performed once. So, you
That's
know.
exciting. Well, possibly performed once, right? It might be you. It has a shot at if there is a. Isn't there another festival where different theater companies, you know, could perform a short piece? And that's how Tony
Right. Yeah. They
moved on. I forget the exact name of it.
I can't remember the name of it either, but Winter Flowers
Winter Flowers,
was the
remember that.
show that made it all the way to the national finals,
Right.
and that was produced right here in Torrington under the direction of Sharon Wilcox. And yes, Tony's made it through to, I think, the New England. Well, it was chosen for as Connecticut's representative.
Connecticut's, and then I went to the New England's representative.
Right, and
So,
it did not move on from there. But yeah, I guess there is another chance for
another
that.
chance. But if nothing else, you're going to be able to see that performed for the first time. It's so exciting. I'm going to talk more about the writing aspect of it when we come back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk here at WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio, speaking with Johnny O. That's John Ozerhosky. We're talking about John Ozerhosky, the playwright, because he has written a piece that was on a blind submission process, selected as one of nine selections for the International Playwrights Festival. There will be actually 10 plays performed because one was not part of that selection process. They asked for it. They had commissioned, or maybe that's not the right word, but they had requested a play from one participant. But for you, yours was a blind submission process, and from the 200 that were submitted, yours was selected as one of nine to be performed. Now, the Playwright Festival is October 13th, which is a Friday, and the 14th, which is Saturday. Do you happen to know which day yours will be performed?
Mine will be performed on the Saturday night, the 14th. It's the first piece after the intermission, and my wife is directing a show that night for the one acts, which you'll be talking with her about at some point.
Absolutely.
And that her show goes up right before intermission, so we're kind of bookending the intermission.
Wow,
Yeah,
that's going to be an amazing night for you.
I'm excited to see Rebecca back doing her thing, and then we'll have intermission, and then my piece goes up. It's very cool.
Now, this particular story, this was very clear throughout this entire interview. This is a part of who you were. You were putting yourself on the
Who
page,
I am, really, yeah.
and a part of being a playwright is kind of putting yourself onto the page and letting it all fall there on the page. Do you foresee yourself writing more, being inspired by this particular success of having it selected and performed, to then write more?
Well, the funny thing is, this wasn't the first idea I had for a play. I had had two other plays in my head. This one I decided to move on because of the 20th anniversary aspect. I thought this is just perfect timing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 20 years later, let's write up a play about the Whalers leaving Hartford. But I definitely see myself doing it again. That the critical thing for me is the time, being able to put in the time to do it. Because even though this particular play did not take me a long time to write, it was the, kind of the editing process, mm-hmm. you know, the fine tuning of it that took time. But I definitely have more stories in my head. I just thought of one the other day, and the hardest part about it is, you know, starting them and then ending them. And I think even Charlene Donaghy would say ending of a play is the hardest thing.
That makes sense, because you've got to have that sense of finality, even if the particular play in may not have a conclusion of, depending on, it's not like you wrap everything up in 30 minutes, but there has to be some sort of satisfying ending that is consistent with what you have written. And that, you're right, that must be very difficult. In terms of when you wrote this, how you had the idea in your head, out of all the ideas that you wanted to work on, this is the one that resonated with you the most, given the time frame.
Correct.
And then,
yes. And my own personal experience with it. Right. Yeah.
How long would you say it took you to write the actual play, including the editing time? I'm not talking just about the first draft, because many times people can just put on the page the first draft. It's the editing, as you said, that makes the play the play. How long does it take to work on something like that?
My original, I put together the play in probably about a day and a half, and then the editing process took, after I got it critiqued from Charlene, I went back, made some changes. I'd say the editing was probably off and on throughout a month.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like a lot, but it is, because we're talking about a one-act play here. You know, this is something that should be performed in about 25 minutes. You know, this isn't a big, long three-act play. This is not a Eugene O'Neill piece we're talking about. This is just a one-act, and you would think that maybe it would be, take a lot sooner or quicker to get the editing done. But, you know, I was just trying to fine-tune it, and I kept getting different ideas. Oh, no, I think I want to reword this monologue a little bit here. And because that's the other thing you worry about is this even going to be interesting to somebody? Because it's so specific.
I think in specificity, there is universality, that when you are so specific about this particular aspect, it does speak to a larger audience who has that feeling of longing, and also of a feeling of absence when something that you love is taken away from you, right, and you have no control over it. And so in the specificity, there is the universality.
And that's what I'm hoping is the draw to people, because that was one of my questions for Charlene. I said, should I be too concerned that I'm talking so much about hockey? You know, is this going to, you know, the people that are going to a play, are they also going to be interested in this? You know, they're going to this festival, and that's one of the beautiful things about this festival is the night my show performs, there will be three other plays performed, and they're each going to be so different, very different topics. So I'm hoping that mine reaches out to families who have lost things that they love, families who are sports fans, and of course people that are just fans of relationships.
If for people who want to find out more information about your work in theater, they can definitely look towards the Backstage with Johnny O.
They
can find that on the Facebook page. They should definitely check out your play, which is going to be at the Warner Theater, the 6th annual International Playwrights Festival. It's going to be, your particular play is going to be performed on October 14th.
Correct.
It's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. I'm as a sports fan and as a theater fan, this is right within my wheelhouse as an audience member. So I'm looking forward to it, and I look forward to seeing the other work that you write.
Well, I hope it comes out eventually. I just got to make the time, Joe.
Thank you for coming in to talk to us today on Nutmeg Chatter.
Always a pleasure, Joe. I appreciate it.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Please stay tuned for Counterspin at 3:30. Then at 4 p.m., It's The Hotspot with Darcy, a fantastic program featuring local music and more. So thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the chat.